RadioSaintPete.com.
Exclusive live event coverage from RadioSaintPete.com. From the St. Petersburg Yacht Club in St. Petersburg, Florida, the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon, recorded July the 10th, 2014. The speaker, author Peter Gollenbach. Now to the podium, and Art O'Hara.
Now it's my pleasure to introduce board member David Clement, who will introduce the speaker. Thank you.
Thank you, Art, and good afternoon, fellow Tigers. It is indeed an honor to be asked to introduce today's speaker. Peter Gollenbach is an amazing writer, one of the nation's best-known sports authors, who has written 9 New York Times bestsellers. 9. And if you don't think he's a prolific writer, look at his book if you can get a copy after. This is the content page or list of the books and articles that he's written over a 30-some year career. He has written, his bestsellers include books about or by legends in baseball: Casey Stengel, Ralph Houk, Yogi Berra, Billy Martin, Sparky Lyle, Jackie Robinson. You could go on for 5 minutes naming them. And the sports organizations that he's written books about: Boston Red Sox, Brooklyn Dodgers, New York Yankees, New York Mets, St. Louis Cardinals, Chicago Cubs, and of course, our own Tampa Bay icon of baseball, George Steinbrenner, with his book, The Poor Little Rich Boy Who Built the Yankee Empire. But it's not just baseball. His oeuvre includes books about the Dallas Cowboys under Tom Landry, NASCAR, even our own Florida Gators he's written about. Outside of sports, his bestseller includes Presumed Guilty, which is he wrote with Jose Baez, the lawyer for Casey Anthony. Name ring a bell? He started his career as a journalist after graduating from Dartmouth and NYU Law School, and he took a short spin as a journalist at the Bergen Record in New Jersey. Those journalism skills were put to good use in the mid-80s when he began investigating the corruption of college basketball in general, and specifically basketball at North Carolina State. His book, Personal Fouls, led to the firing of legendary North Carolina State coach Jim Galvano and to NCAA reforms that permitted college athletes to leave college with an education, not just a handful of press clippings. So controversy is not new to Peter Gollenbach. Certainly, his latest book will be generating some in Florida. That book, The Chairman, The Rise and Betrayal of Jim Greer, purports to tell the real story of Charlie Crist as the people's governor. I can only think, what if Charlie Crist were here today? I look forward to reading the book, as I was in Tallahassee for a brief period about which he writes, and I look forward to hearing what the author has to say about it today. Tigers, please give a warm Tiger welcome to St. Petersburg's own Peter Gollenbach.
I want to thank Art O'Hara, Pat Gerard, and Tiger Bay for inviting me this afternoon. I've been a member of Tiger Bay now for a bunch of years, and I want to express my appreciation for an organization that means so much to this community and to my beloved St. Petersburg. With an important election coming up, not every organization would have the cojones to invite me to speak about this incendiary book. When Jim Greer pleaded guilty to using Republican Party of Florida money for personal gain on February 11th, 2013, there was a public outcry of disappointment because if he had gone to trial, Jim was expected to reveal all the dirty little secrets of the party. His plea meant that he would not. Then last month, my book, The Chairman, was published, revealing all of those dirty little secrets you and the political world of Florida had been waiting for. I waited for the public outcry, and there was none. Quite the opposite, in fact. It's a month later, and nowhere in the media, not on TV or the radio, or our hallowed local newspapers, were any of Greer's revelations revealed. Instead, what you got was, why should we believe Jim Greer? He's a convicted felon. Well, this response is understandable because reputations and the race for governor are at stake. I have written a book that everyone involved in the upcoming governor's race, except perhaps Nan Rich, wishes had not been published. The Republicans don't want you to hear Greer's story because the then heads of the party, Dean Cannon, Mike Haradopoulos, Bill McCollum, John Thrasher, and Marco Rubio, all turn out to be not only proven liars, but they are revealed to be vicious bullies who conspired among themselves to throw Greer in jail for 15 months because of their anger toward Greer's boss, Charlie Crist. The Democrats don't want you to read this book because their new leader, the former chain gang Charlie Crist, is somehow the candidate for governor, and they don't want you to discover that the affable Crist, for much of his term, wasn't much interested in governing, which was certainly understandable because during the second half of his reign, he was getting mercilessly pounded every day by Tea Party and ultra-right-wing conservatives. What wasn't understandable was how he could willingly lie in a deposition and condemn his best friend to jail in order not to lose ground in his U.S. Senate race against Marco Rubio, who, Greer says, not only used plenty of Republican Party of Florida money for his own use, but who in the book was reported to have taken first-year House members to Miami strip clubs, took pictures of them with strippers, and used those pictures to blackmail them into voting the way Rubio wanted them to vote. Hearsay, or more predictably, triple hearsay, is how the local media described these revelations. I have a suggestion. Why don't my critics head to Tallahassee and Miami, do a little reporting, and find out whether what Greer was told was true before poo-pooing the story out of hand? I'd be willing to bet that Greer had not made the story up. But maybe, just maybe, the pundits and the politicians don't want you to read this book because of its much more significant issues. One major political disgrace detailed in The Chairman is that state politics, as it is practiced in Tallahassee by those then in charge, is not about doing right by the people. The citizens of the state, it seems, are an afterthought. Ironically, the one person from the ruling party willing to stick up for the citizens of the state while he was the governor was Charlie Crist. In the 4 years during which Jim Greer was the chairman of the Republican Party, Governor Crist did several things that benefited Florida citizens. He accepted stimulus money from President Obama, which brought to the state an infusion of badly needed federal dollars. He appointed a liberal African-American judge to the state Supreme Court, a man likely to side with the downtrodden rather than the rich and the powerful. Crist made it easier for felons to get their rights back after they got out of jail. And after he did each of those things, the movers and shakers of the party wanted to literally hang him. Jim Greer was at the end of many a hate-filled telephone conversation from party faithful about Crist's actions. Their anger at Crist would prove the prime motivation for the party to move to hound Crist and to remove Greer from office. It is also clear from hearing about the activities of the members of the House and the Senate that democracy in Florida, and perhaps in many states in America, is on life support. Politics is now about making money for wealthy white men. Those in power have gerrymandered enough districts that the incumbents can't lose. In addition, those in power have done everything possible to disenfranchise voters who they believe will vote for the other party. They are disenfranchising students with new strict rules preventing them from voting at college. They are working diligently to prevent African Americans and the elderly from voting, using strawman ills as excuses for passing laws designed to keep the young, black, and the elderly from going to the voting booth. And the reason they are doing this, Greer says in the book, is because the men in power are desperate to stay in power for one reason and one reason only, to use their time in office to get rich. These men aren't racist, said Greer. They are just extremely greedy. One of the primary activities, perhaps the most important activity, as described in the chairman, of the members of the Florida House and Senate is raising money for themselves for the next campaign. Much of their time and effort was devoted to fundraising, and when they weren't doing that, they were working to get rich by applying their pay-for-play philosophy. If a corporation wants a bill passed, the way to get it passed is to give the lobbyist representing that company a satchel of cash to hand to the politician willing to do that company's bidding. It was so blatant that bills were passed that were actually written by the lawyers for the corporation paying the freight. Crist, as governor, would get in touch with the legislators when several times his conscience would get the better of him, and he would veto such a bill. He vetoed one bill that would have given Florida Power a rate hike for no good reason. The howls from party legislators and their lobbyists could be heard all over the state of Florida. Money poured into the RPOF coffers so much that some of the top politicians, including Marco Rubio and Mike Haridopoulos, had no qualms about spending some of that money on themselves or their pet causes. Which brings us back to the case of Jim Greer and another of the important themes of this book: the corrupt nature of the state's criminal justice system as it has been practiced under the direction of Attorney General Bill McCollum and his successor, Pam Bondi, the thrice-married homophobe who adopted a Katrina dog and then refused to return it to its rightful owner. In their attempt to nail Crist and Greer to the wall for being so moderate, John Thrasher, the new party chairman, the man who replaced Greer, decided to conduct an audit of party funds in an attempt to embarrass Greer and Crist. Had he audited Marco Rubio, he could have built a case that could have sent Rubio to jail. Same for Dean Cannon. Same for Mark Haridopoulos. But Thrasher deliberately and vengefully opted to pursue only Crist and Greer. And because he had the state attorney general on his side as part of the Tea Party cabal, they were able to make certain that Greer went to jail. Let me tell you what Greer had going for him. If this had been a fair fight and had his opponents had any integrity and decency, for him to resign, he was offered a severance agreement signed by Cannon, Haridopoulos, Thrasher, and McCollum, among others, that was to give Greer the rest of his salary after he stepped down. Like most severance contracts, it also said that Greer was to be held harmless for anything he might have done as chairman. The contract with all seven signatures is reproduced in the book. You might wonder how Greer, with such a document in his possession, it had a hold harmless clause for crying out loud, could end up in jail for unlawfully taking RPOF money. You have to start with venal men who hated him and Crist. By 2010, the RPOF was being run by the Tea Party. These men would stop at nothing to purge the party of men they deemed undesirable, men like Crist and Greer. After Greer stepped down, based on his signing the severance agreement, the party leaders reneged. They declared that their severance agreement with Greer was null and void. They would not pay him the money they had agreed to pay him. They used the specious argument that because three of the signatures on the contract had been faxed, not hand-signed, it was null and void. In Florida, a fax signature is valid. They then declared that Victory Strategies, the company started by Greer and his chief executive, Delmar Johnson, had been set up to cheat the Republican Party. That, too, was untrue. Chris Johnson and several others knew it to be untrue. It was public enough that it was even cited by name in the first two drafts of the severance agreement. Its existence had been hushed up so the former fundraiser of the party, Meredith O'Rourke, wouldn't find out about it. Had Meredith known, said Greer, she would have made certain her big donors would have stopped giving money to the party. What was also true was that Delmar Johnson, Greer's partner in Victory Strategies, had used Republican Party of Florida money for outings and for his own private use using the RPOF credit card. What Attorney General McCollum needed to do in order to indict Greer was to shift the blame from Delmar Johnson to Greer, and he did that by offering Johnson a deal. If Johnson would rat out his close friends, he would be given immunity and go free. Johnson, who was honored by Greer by being named his son's godfather, even went so far as to wear a wire, visit Greer at his home, and try to catch Greer making incriminating statements. Even with all this being aimed in Greer's direction, Greer still would have gone free if his best friend, Charlie Crist, had come to his defense. At the time Crist was being deposed, he was battling Marco Rubio for the U.S. Senate seat. Crist, the governor, was tired of taking abuse from the hard right of the party and was looking for a way out. He also thought that by becoming a U.S. senator, he would improve his chances of becoming the Republican presidential candidate for 2016. For a while, Crist had been considered as a vice presidential candidate by both Rudy Giuliani and John McCain. As we know, Sarah Palin got the nod instead. Crist was asked if he knew about Victory Strategies, the company Greer had started in order to raise money for the party. Crist didn't actually know the name of the company, so he slyly answered that question factually by saying he didn't know about Victory Strategies. But he had given Greer the express permission to become the chief fundraiser for the party. He had pleaded with Greer to take over the job, something Greer admitted later he never should have done as party chairman. When Greer, during lunch at a restaurant, heard via text message that Crist, in a deposition, had denied knowing about his appointment as chief fundraiser, he fainted dead away, and he had to be taken to the hospital. How Charlie Crist could have done that to his best friend says more about him than anyone in the Democratic Party wants you to know. When Charlie says that this book holds the words of a sad, desperate felon, I fume. Because the only one who was desperate was Charlie, whose lie helped make Jim Greer a felon. Knowing what I know, I, as a Democrat, will go to the polls, and holding my nose, I will vote for Charlie Crist. After all, stabbing a friend in the back is still less heinous than Rick Scott stealing $1.6 billion from Medicare and turning down Medicaid expansion. But I will do it with the knowledge that a fine man faces financial ruin and the loss of his reputation because it was more important for Charlie Crist not to lose some votes than it was to help his best friend. I look forward to your carving a guest speaker for lunch. Just don't ask me, as some already have, whether I believe Jim Greer. I certainly do. And if you want to find out how George Lemieux was chosen by Crist to be a United States Senator, or how Crist screwed Rudy Giuliani and destroyed his presidential campaign, or how Greer helped Michael Steele become the Republican National Chair, or about life with the Crists on Fisher Island, or about hookers in the Bahamas, you'll just have to read the book. Which I got a few of, which I'm going to give you the Tiger Bay special. It's a $32.50 book, which we will sell to you for only $30. Because we don't make change.
Okay, there's time for questions and answers, and you will have 2 minutes to respond, and I will pick the questioners. So
okay.
I'll take you off the hook there.
That's all right. I'm happy to pick questions.
Got a question right here.
And we don't have a mic, so you have to say your name and speak loudly.
Bill Ducote. I wanted to ask you about the major things that happened under Crist. You iterated several. I noticed that you didn't say anything about getting rid of enforcing the Republican Party to get rid of the paperless voting machines.
It was not discussed.
Which he forced down their throats and pulled off.
Let me tell you something. This book is 430 pages of stuff. There's probably another 430 pages that didn't somehow make it. You know, it's just, we can't include everything.
I just wondered if there was a reason you didn't.
No, there's no reason. I have no ulterior motives. No.
Harvey Landers, why do you seem surprised that your book hasn't gotten any traction when popular sentiment says that bigwigs in both Republican and Democratic Party, they all lie?
Because anytime I write a book, I expect it to be a big bestseller. And when it isn't, I'm really crushed. And part of what I'm doing here is getting all you people to spread the word. But it's an interesting thing. You know, the publishers want the books to come out as fast as they possibly can. And we also wanted to bring the book out right about the time Jim got out of confinement. And that's what we did. But I have a feeling. I just have a feeling. This is one of those books, when somebody reads it and finds out what's in it, they're going to tell somebody else, and then somebody else is going to tell somebody else, and before you know it, there's going to be a lot of somebody else's. Because, you know, I've read a lot of books about, you know, politics and biographies and so forth, and this is sort of unique. It's not every day that you've got somebody so close to all of this goings on in a state government like that, you know, in a sense spilling the beans. Uh-oh. You can join immediately. You have a check? You have a check? Well, we could take her promise that she will join. How about that?
Are you pledging to join?
Yeah, my husband just joined.
Okay.
But you have to pledge to join.
My decision.
Raise your right hand.
You guys can impeach me if it doesn't work. So.
Name.
Stand up.
Stand up, please. We can't hear.
My question is, when Mr. Greer is released,
he has been released. He came out last Friday.
Okay. Does he have any restrictions on his ability to speak out?
No.
So perhaps if he spoke out more, it would help you.
I think that's true. Yes, that's true. And I expect that that will happen fairly soon. He and his wife are going off for a couple of weeks. This has been a very tough time for him. He just wants to be left alone for a while. And I can't blame him. I really can't.
Greg Evans, pardon me, Constantine. Do you expect the book to be reviewed many times?
Well, I've expected the book to be plastered all over the Tampa Bay Times for the last month. But it's what we said before. I want Charlie Crist to win the election. The Tampa Bay Times wants Charlie Crist to win the election. And, you know, writing about this book, if you want to push it in that way, doesn't necessarily, you know, help him. It's not, Cannon and Haridopoulos and all those other guys aren't running for election. You know, he is. You know, I blame the Tea Party faction of the party more than I blame Charlie. I mean, if they had done all the things that they had done, then the issue with Charlie never even would have come up. But he was sort of the last piece in a very complicated puzzle that caused Jim to go to jail.
Sue Landers, I'm interested in how you approached, or Jim Greer approached you, into writing this book, and if there was any kind of agreement about what would be published.
No agreement as to what would be published. I got a phone call one day. Hi, I'm Jim Greer. Do you know who I am? Yep. Would you like to write a book? Yep. And there it was. And we wrote a book. And he's like a brother to me. I mean, I think he's a wonderful guy. He was probably too naive to take a job like that. He was the vice mayor of Oviedo, Florida, somewhere in Seminole County when he started raising money for Charlie Crist's gubernatorial campaign of 2006. And he did such a fantastic job that Charlie saw his talents and immediately asked him if he would be the chairman of the party. At that time, Jim didn't even have any idea of how you did that. You know, you had to be a committee man or a committee woman. You had to be a big shot in the county. And he wasn't even that. So he had to get somebody to step down so he could become that, so that he could run. And when he ran, Carol Jean Jordan, who had the job before him, decided she was going to run anyway. You know, she hated Charlie Crist. She didn't want Charlie Crist's guy to become the new chairman. I mean, there are so many interesting twists and turns about his chairmanship. You know, I could spend the next 2 hours talking about it.
I want to know when you and Wendy are moving to New Jersey.
Moving to New Jersey. We're not moving anywhere. This is the most wonderful town in America, and we're not going anyplace.
Eric Gerard, obviously a book like this takes countless hours of research and shoe leather. Could you more or less discuss your research techniques and how many strip clubs did you go to?
The primary information from this book came from Jim, plus poring over records from the court. We've got some of the documents in here. It was mostly that. We didn't have a great deal of time. But there were not other interviews. No, the interviews are with Jim Greer. This is Jim Greer's story. Basically, when he pled guilty, he had about 3.5 months. I think it was between February and June when he had to go to Appalachia, wherever the heck it is, up to go to jail. So that's the time that we had for me to get the information from this book. And we did it. Every day we sat and we talked, and I give him a tremendous amount of credit for his memory. It's really, really quite amazing.
Dave Zakim, those of us in the party, of course, are...
Which party?
The Republican Party. Oh. Have, to use a baseball term, which you're probably familiar with, have been familiar with the rumors that Jim... was a switch hitter. And in writing this book...
What does a switch hitter mean?
Gay. Well, I know he's married. I've been at Jim's house. I know him very well.
Okay. That's the first one that I've ever heard.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised. I promise. I never heard that Jim
Did Jim
gay.
Ever mention in writing this book the impact that may have had in his appointment as chairman or other things?
That would be no, Dave. That would be absolutely not. Well yourself. Next question.
Bob and Mary, I haven't read the book, but I want to take advantage of the benefit of the discount. Knowing what you know about corporations and their influence,
I don't know much.
You don't?
Not much.
I was just going to ask if you think that corporations in Florida have more influence on the political world than they do in other places. Do you have...
Well, I can answer that question. I mean, they've got a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous amount of influence in this state. I can't answer for other states because I don't have any inside information about it. But I suspect in other red states where... The Citizens United is cheered, where the Koch brothers are welcomed. Those are the states where the corporations have the most sway. That includes Florida.
Jim Gillespie, I think everybody in this room, for present purposes, assumes your bona fide presentation, assumes you're accurate, assumes you're telling the truth. Now tell us. Mm-hmm. What event or events would have to occur to validate
most of the content of this book, what major event would do that? Would it be a major article in the Tampa Bay Times, investigating off of what has been played? What really would move this book and get the public aware of it?
Well, those are two different questions. The first question is, what would it take for it to be validated? Would be if you were to read it and you go and you'd say, "Oh, this is right." Just you. That would be enough for me. But as for the public is concerned, it would not make me very unhappy if somebody on MSNBC decided to interview me about this book. That would be okay. Rachel Maddow, where are you? You know. Or Jimmy Fallon, for that matter. You know?
I've got Bob.
Bob Spransky, how are you going to justify your standing in the press because you broke a mortal sin by investigating a Democrat because it's against the Tampa Bay Times and all Democrats to investigate Democrats? They can only investigate Republicans. So how long are you going to be able to even talk to them before they say bye?
But Bob, I'm still in good standing because when I was investigating, Charlie Crist was still a Republican.
One of the things that you haven't mentioned is Nan Rich.
I mentioned Nan Rich.
Well, yes, but you were
I did mention Nan Rich.
You were going to vote for Chris, and given what you've written,
yeah,
she becomes a much more viable candidate. So could you please talk to me about her and her candidacy?
Unfortunately, because of Citizens United and other rulings, you've got to have $1 billion to run for these offices. And you've got to be incredibly, incredibly popular and celebrated. Charlie Crist has been in this state for, 20-something years? And he is probably, maybe Scott is the most, you look at Scott and you go, "Oh, I know that guy." Well, Charlie Crist, you look at Crist and go, "Oh, I know that guy." Nan Rich, unfortunately, doesn't have that background, especially statewide. I just don't think she can beat him. That's just my take on it. That's all. I think she's a perfectly fine candidate. I just don't think she has the money, and I don't think she has the, the name recognition. There's another word. That wasn't the word I was looking for. There's another word. No, she's got gravitas. She just doesn't have enough. No, she's got that too. All right. Next question.
Last question.
Hey, Kelly Kirshner. Peter, it seems.
How's your dad?
He's doing good.
Good.
It seems like the media talking points, including John Morgan on Amazon reviews, is that the book's full of grammatical errors, misspellings.
I've never had a grammatical error in my life.
I did read, prior to coming here, the Orlando Sentinel Review, I think the Miami Herald Review, I believe the Times said something else about grammatical errors.
They did.
But then the other talking point is, if Greer...
We could talk about strippers in Miami, or we could talk about grammatical errors.
Yeah. I find it interesting. But then the other common thread that you hear in these is, if Greer was so innocent, why did he accept the plea deal, and why did he not fight?
I will tell you, that's a good question. That's a winning question. That's it. You're going to get a book. Here's why, and you would do the same thing. He knew that the Attorney General was, behind all of this, Thrasher and the Attorney General. And they said to his lawyers, "Yes, you can go to trial. But if he is found guilty on just one thing, we're going to make sure he goes to prison for 10 years. That's the first thing they told him. The second thing they told him was, "We know that you have people who are going to come and testify that Charlie Crist lied about victory strategies. You put these people on the stands, and we are going to embarrass them. We're going to ask them embarrassing questions and make sure we're going to ruin their reputations. Those are the two things they said to Jim Greer's lawyers. So Jim Greer had a choice. He's got a baby who was barely a year old and two young sons. And he could have gone to trial and risk going to jail for 10 years, or he could have taken the 15-month plea, which he just finished. So now he can watch his children grow up. I ask you, which would you have done, knowing who you were up against? And that's the answer.
Thank you, Peter. My pleasure. Before you, I'd like to present you with one of the Harvard Politician for Lunch mugs.
Thank you so
and
much.
Stick around, there'll be some pictures afterwards.
All right, thank you.
Thank you again. Very enlightening. Okay, on Thursday, July 24th, we will have District 66, 68, and 69 candidates at the Yacht Club here. On Wednesday, August 27th, District 65 and 67 candidates, again here.
And
Senate District 22, breaking news. On the 27th, Senate District 20 or 22 on the 27th of August. Okay. The Raiders have completed their job, and the winner is Kelly Kushner.
Yay! May I say something?
Sure.
After Bill Edwards' performance, Oprah-like performance last time, giving away scarves and such, I thought it would be only right that I were to give a copy of the chairman to the winning questioner. So, very good.
RadioSaintPete.com.